Welcome to the Overnight Trainer Podcast, where each week we talk about all things related to the world of learning and development, including facilitation, instructional design, sales enablement, and so much more. I'm your host, Sarah Canistra, and I'm an L&D strategist and career coach, and I'm here to take the guesswork out of becoming an L&D professional and show you how to unlock continued success in your learning and development career. I'm on a mission to quickly develop the next generation of L&D leaders who are looking to create meaningful and engaging learning experiences. So, if you're looking to transition into L&D for the first time, have found yourself accidentally in a training position, or are working up the ranks as an L&D professional already, you've come to the right place. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Overnight Trainer Podcast. I'm so happy you're here spending time with me on maybe a Tuesday, if you're listening to it when it comes out, or any other day during the week. I'm just really glad that you're here spending some time focusing on you and focusing on your own development. You know, it's something that, especially those of you, whether you're in L&D already or transitioning into L&D, it's something that was told to me really early on in my L&D career, which is, you know, L&D is like the cobbler's kids with no shoes. We're always focusing on developing everyone else, but how often do we develop ourselves? And that statement has really just been with me forever. And it really, you know, I think about it kind of like the core of why I do what I do and what the Overnight Trainer's purpose is, to really help L&D professionals, all of you, aspiring new tenured executive, you know, whatever bucket you land in, helping you, you know, find your space inside of L&D and to grow. And the more that we grow, the more that we can help grow others. So just really happy that you're here spending some time with me today. And I'm really excited about today's topic, which is all around finding your L&D niche. And before we get into today's episode, I just want to celebrate one of my clients, Melissa, who's been in the group coaching program. It's so amazing to see how quickly things can shift. And so I want her story to really be a reminder to all of you as you know, whoever here is on that career transition journey, but really knowing how quickly, you know, things can shift. Once she really figured out what her niche was and the skills that she wanted to utilize, for her, she is coming from a K-12 background. She did a lot of professional development for other educators. And the skill that she wanted to harness the most was coaching and finding a role where she'd be really spending a lot of her time coaching. And once she really streamlined and narrowed in on that and what that looked like, and only applied to roles that fit within this niche of hers we're going to talk about today, she saw everything change. So it's been about, what, 2-3 weeks since she found, maybe it's been about 2 weeks now, her dream L&D role. She applied, got heard back from them the next day, and today is actually the Monday before this is airing. She's going on her final interview, so give her lots and lots of good luck for her dream role. And everything's changed in 2 weeks. And so I want to share the story with all of you just to show like how quickly things can change and how important it is to be aligned and intentional. So if you are looking to have that kind of success and join us in our group coaching program, Fast Track is open. So feel free to DM me. The link is in the show notes as well if you want more information on that, but we'd love to have you. All right, so let's get into today's episode, which is all around your L&D niche. What is it? How do you find it? Why is it important? And one of my very first podcast episodes, I think it was like episode 3, I talk about finding your L&D niche. And I go into, you know, in depth into that. But a lot's changed since that episode. It's been almost 2 years of this podcast, which is wild to think about. So hey, to all my OGs. I can't believe that. It's been 2 years. I'm processing this out loud right now. And a lot's changed. You know, what hasn't changed is how important it is to find a niche. But I've now helped almost 200 people find their L&D niche and utilize that to find an incredibly fruitful, fulfilling, purpose-driven career for them that they absolutely love. And more than anything, more now than ever, really, the niche is, your L&D niche is such a foundation, not only if you're trying to transition into L&D, because I work with about 50% of my clients are transitioning into L&D for the first time, but the other half already in L&D looking to grow and find their next place. And so your niche evolves and grows with you, and it's that foundation. So I want to first and foremost talk about what an L&D niche is. A lot of people think when they hear L&D niche, they think that means that you are picking a position, right? Picking a job title that suits you. So instructional designer or e-learning developer or L&D program manager or trainer, facilitator, training specialist, right? So a lot of people think that's a niche. Those aren't niches. Those are fields and those are job titles. They are not niches. Now, your niche could cross over into multiple fields of L&D. Your niche could cross over into multiple job job titles in L&D. Really, your niche, the whole goal around your niche is really for you to stop trying to fit into everyone else's boxes. And what I was seeing is my clients, especially early on, is that they were constantly updating their resumes. They were applying to hundreds and hundreds of jobs. And I couldn't understand how one person could fit into 100 different jobs. Like, how are you finding 100 different jobs desirable and in alignment with what you actually want to do, right? Not just what you think you should do, but what you actually want to do. And so this is when I really started to come up with my formula around the niche work and finding your L&D niche, because the law of averages doesn't exist when it comes to career searching, right? So if you are looking for a new role, whether you're already in L&D or transitioning into it, if you are applying to hundreds of roles and throwing spaghetti at the wall, hoping something sticks, it's gonna take you so much longer to find a role. You know, one thing I talk about a lot with my clients is many come into me having applied over and over again and seeing, you know, maybe, you know, 1 out of 100, 2 out of 100 get back to them. We refine their niche, we get really focused, they apply to roles that fit within their niche, and maybe they're only applying to 10 roles, but they're hearing back from 5 or 6 or 7, right? So that percentage is much higher because it's in alignment. And so, you know, it's really thinking about it in terms of, like I said, your box, right? So rather than you trying to fit into everyone else's box and constantly updating your resume, constantly updating your LinkedIn, like it's so freaking exhausting, right? Rather than trying to fit into everyone else's box, what's your box? What is your box made of? And then what roles, what job titles, what fields, what companies, like what fits into your box? And as soon as you can start to shift your mindset and shift your thinking around creating your own box and finding what fits into your box, that's what creates alignment. And alignment is what gets you calls and interviews and jobs, is that mutual alignment. So when we think about your L&D, that's why having a niche is so important. It just overall sets that foundation. It's your North Star. It makes sure that, you know, you're heading in the right direction, the direction that's right for you, and that you're staying within your box and you have freedom and flexibility to move around within it. You know, one of the analogies I use, my clients know this, and I've used it on the podcast too, if you've been listening for a while, but you know, when you start out, again, whether you're career transitioning or you're just looking for your next role in L&D, when you start out, it's kind of like you're in an ocean, right? It's like, holy shit, there's so much water. I can't see land. Am I going the right direction? You know, am I heading into a storm? Am I safe? Right? There's so many, it just feels so vast and it feels so overwhelming because you keep moving and moving and moving and moving, but you're treading water in an ocean, right? You're on a little boat in a canoe in the ocean, right? You don't feel like you're getting very far. But imagine that same canoe now being inside of a lake and you're like, okay, I can see land. It's very far away. And you're still putting a lot of effort in there, but you're understanding a little bit more and you have more clarity. The goal of finding your niche is to get into the swimming pool. And for some of you, that's a spa resort pool. For some of you, that's an Olympic size pool. Really depends, again, on the skill sets that you're looking to utilize. But really, at the end of the day, you want to be in that swimming pool. And your canoe inside a swimming pool, right, it's much more manageable, but it still gives you room to work around, right? If you're narrowing all the way down to one specific job title, like instructional designer or facilitator or training specialist, you are missing out on everything else that could be in your pool. So we want to go from an ocean to a lake into a swimming pool, and that's where we want to be. And your niche, finding your niche is what that is. That's the output of it. So your L&D niche is really made up of three parts. And the goal of your L&D niche is to find what does the right roles at the right companies look like for me, right? What's inside of my box? So when we think about kind of the pillars of your box, there's three main parts. The first part is, what are your career interests? So what are you actually interested in doing in your next role? Not just what you think you should be doing, right? And I think that's, especially for those of you transitioning into L&D for the first time, I think there's so many people who will talk about their journey and how they transitioned into L&D and how they got their role and, you know, what are the things they had to do? Well, that's them and that's their interests. And so many of us, I see this happen a lot, so many people just automatically assume, right, that that's the path they should take or that's the role that they should go into because they had a similar background. Well, having a similar background doesn't mean you have similar interests. And so really get clear on, what are my interests? What do I want to be doing in my next role? You know, I have an entire workshop all around finding your niche. And you know, really one of the key questions in there is, you know, what do you want to be doing, right? What impact do you want to have? What would get you excited in the morning to go and do? You know, if you're talking to your friends over cocktails and you're talking about what you're doing in your job, what's exciting to you? What's intriguing? What's interesting, right? Not just like, oh, this is what I have to do because it's what I thought it was the only thing I could do. So really getting clear on what your interests are. So for example, and I'm using a real life client of mine, you know, an example of a career interest, and you think about, you know, sitting at dinner or having cocktails with your friends, you know, or talking to a stranger about what you do, right? An example of that is designing and leading transformational learning and leadership programs, right? And again, that's just one example. That's one example, but I'm using a real life client example. And so when I worked with this client and really thought about, you know, what's going to interest them, like what of what they've done before, what do they want to do again and on what type of level? And being able to design, not only design, but to lead transformational learning and leadership programs. So getting really specific there, it's not just the learning piece, but the leadership side too. And so I want you to get really clear when you're coming up with your niches, what are your interests? What do you actually want to do in your next role? So that's the first part of finding your niche. The second part are your transferable skills. So what are the skills that you are excited to use in your next role? Just because you have a skill doesn't mean you actually want to use it. Me, for example, I'm a good facilitator. I'm a great facilitator. I have a lot of energy when I facilitate. And for many years, that was my job. My job was to facilitate. And eventually, I got really tired of it. So it was a skill that I had. It was a skill, something I was really, really good at, but I wasn't excited to utilize it anymore. And so for me, I knew I wanted to go into a role where I'd be doing more coaching and leadership and high level, right? It's when I moved into my director role. I didn't want to be facilitating anymore. And so when you think about it, you know, I think a lot of us get caught up on, oh, well, I'm really good at this, so I should do this in my next role. Or I'm really good at that, so I should do it in my next role. Or, you know, I've been told that this is a strength of mine, so I should utilize that in my next role. But I want you to get really specific. What skills do you have? So maybe you're making a laundry list of all the skills that you have. Maybe that is reaching out to people you've worked with in the past and ask them, hey, what would you say my top five strengths are, top five skills are, and collecting that. And then going through and saying, okay, but which one of these do I actually want to use, right? And we hear people talk a lot about, I think I mentioned this recently on a podcast too, but you know, the quote of like, oh, do what you love and never work a day in your life, right? And that's not true, right? We can't love what we're doing every second of every single day. Even me, who I love what I do and I love my business, there are days where I don't. That's okay. That's totally fine. But when you think about what is going to energize you, right? And what's going to make it feel like it's not quote unquote work, it's going to be because you're operating in your skills and your strengths that give you energy, not skills that drain you. So for me, you know, when I left the kind of the facilitation side of things, I gained back so much more energy because of how much my energy was being depleted by something that, yeah, because I was good at it doesn't mean I actually like doing it. And it drained me more than it gave me energy. So I want you to think about, what are those transferable skills that you want to utilize, you're excited to utilize in your next role? You can make a list of all the skills you have and go through and then go through and cross off the ones that you don't want to utilize. This is about you, again, creating your own box, your own buckets here. So once you get specific, once you get intentional, group them into high level buckets. So for example, let's say that you have problem solving, project planning, project management, data analysis, or maybe those are a group of skills that you have. That can all fit under strategic consulting, right? Or project management as a whole. We'll see, we can call it strategic consulting or project management, whatever you want to call it. Then let's say you also have public speaking, coaching, facilitating meetings. Well, those fit under a nice bucket of facilitation. Let's say that you then have cross-functional communication, conflict resolution, empathy, learner differentiation. Those can all be categorized under relationship building. So we think about, okay, what are my big buckets now? So the first part is finding my interests. What is it I actually want to do? Well, I want to design and lead transformational learning and leadership programs. Cool. What are the skills I want to utilize to do that? Right? Well, my strategic consulting skills, I'm problem solving, I'm project planning, I'm doing project management, data analysis. I also want to utilize facilitation, you know, public speaking, coaching people, facilitating meetings and conversations. And I want to do it by relationship building, having that cross-functional communication, conflict resolution, right? That's something that's big in leadership. Empathy, my learner differentiation, right? All that falls into relationship building. So you can start to see here your niche already coming together, what you want to do and how do you want to do it, right? What interests you and what skills are you going to utilize to make those interests come to life? Now, the last part of the niche, the L&D niche trifecta, is looking at your values. So what values do you want your next organization to share and amplify? And the reason why I focus on values is because skills and interests, those are going to get you in the door, but it is the value alignment that you have that is going to land you the job. And a lot of people get frustrated. They get close to the end. They make it through quite a few interviews and they don't land the role. And oftentimes it's not because you didn't have the skill set or the interests, right? Those are there. You didn't make it that far without them. But a lot of times it's just that someone was a better value match in the organization. And it's kind of that feeling where it's like, oh, you know, I had that gut feeling. It's not, I didn't really have a gut feeling. It was just that that person aligned with the organizational values and the values of the team. And so when you think about this third part right here about finding the right role at the right company, when I say right company, I don't necessarily mean the field or the industry or the type of company or the name of the company. You know, that could end up playing a part. But what I mean is, what values do you want them to share and amplify? What do you bring to their culture, right? What will you add? What will you get from them, right? What are you looking for in that next organization, in that next team, in the next department, in the next manager, right? Really understanding the value alignment there. So when you think about it, very similar to what we talked about with your transferable skills, making a list. What are your values? And inside of the niche workshop that it's all asynchronous, so it's a course, but inside that course, we go through a really, we use, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs to really identify what are all of your values on all different levels. But let's say, for example, you know, similar, like I said, to your skills, right? Making that list, get really intentional, then grouping them together. So let's say you have creativity, you know, modern, forward thinking, inventive, right? Let's say that those are all values of you. Well, that can fit under innovation, right? Or let's say that you have earth conscious, efficiency, making a global impact, right? Those can all fit under sustainability. And so what we do then is we look at your interests, your transferable skills, your values. So we have a Venn diagram, and at the center, at the intersection of the three of those, is what your niche is, right? It is what your interests look like, the skills that you have to back it up, and the values that you bring to the table. And so when we put all of that together, we create what's called a niche statement. So for example, based on what we just talked about, a niche statement could look like this. I design and lead transformational learning and leadership programs through strategic consulting, facilitation, and relationship building for innovative and sustainable organizations. Now you have a box, right? You have this box created, and all different types of roles can fit in there, right? That could be a learning and development program manager. That could be a VP of learning design. That could be a leadership coach. I have a client right now who is a high level, you know, L&D director and is found roles in from a leadership only perspective and doing strategic leadership coaching inside of an organization. Right. But really thinking about not only what are the type of roles, but also thinking about, okay, you know, how can I utilize these skills that I bring to the table and where is that value alignment? So knowing now that when I look for roles and roles that are popping up for me, I'm looking for a role where I can design and lead transformational learning and leadership programs. I'm looking for a role that's going to leverage my strategic consulting, my facilitation, my relationship building skills. And I'm looking for a role in a company that's innovative and sustainable. So now you have this box, right? You have these walls of your box and all the roles that and organizations that fit in there, those are roles that are inside of your niche. So really, really spending time understanding your niche. It's so much more than choosing a job title, right? That is actually quite the opposite. Choosing a job title, I think in all honesty and full transparency, is a kiss of death. You are missing out on so many opportunities. And I noticed this really early on in my coaching business. And again, really a catalyst for me wanting to do this full time and make this my full time job is how many people were coming to me saying they wanted to be an instructional designer. But when we dove into what it is they actually wanted to do, it wasn't instructional design. I would say it's changed now. I think a lot of people are catching on to, you know, that there's way more than instructional design out there. And not to shit on instructional design, because instructional design is great. don't get me wrong there. But, you know, I think it's really, really important to keep in mind that there's so many different types of roles out there. And as soon as we narrow in on just one, then other roles that might fit that strategic consulting, facilitation, or relationship building skills, other roles where you might be able to design and lead transformational learning and leadership programs, you'll miss those because you're only looking for jobs and jobs titles. So that is what a niche looks like when it's all put together. So it's the intersection again between your transferable skills, your interests, your values. Where does that intersect lie? And if you want more support in that, again, there's the Nail Your Niche workshop series. If you go to my website, theovernighttrainer.com/programs, you can get access to that. It's a full-on workshop, has a workbook for you. You can work through that. It's all asynchronous. And if you do want additional support, if you want to work with me on finding your niche, you can definitely come join us inside of Fast Track. That's just one of the many parts that we do together. So I've been posting a lot about the niche recently and, you know, more and more people, again, like I said, are catching on to it. And so I got a lot of questions about finding your niche and what that looks like. And I opened it up on my LinkedIn page. And so I want to take this time to do a little Q&A and to answer these questions. No, obviously not live because you're not here in my office with me, but to answer these questions on the podcast and be able to dive a little bit deeper in there. So I got, let's see, 5 questions. So I'm going to go through these because they're really, really, really great questions. And I know a lot of people are having them. So Carly asked, I think I know my niche, but it feels so niche-y that I can't find opportunities relating to it. So usually when that happens, there's a couple of things. One is you can get too niche, right? So if you're in that, you know, like I said, you want to be ocean, you want to go from ocean to lake to swimming pool, but sometimes we're in a bathtub or even worse, like we're in a puddle, right? Or like a little bit of spilled water on the floor, right? So we can't move around in there. So usually what happens is when people are too niche, meaning that what I mean by that is that they've probably stumbled upon a couple job titles and that's where they're focusing their time. So I would want to make sure again, if you feel that you're too niche-y, it probably means that you've laser focused in too much. Maybe you've just chosen one skill or one interest, right? Be a little bit more broad in it. The other thing that I find is that, and this is where coaching comes in, this is where I actually work with my clients a lot on this, is translating the skills into corporate L&D language so you can find opportunities, right? So utilizing what is some of that more of that L&D jargon. So a way that you can do that is if, you know, looking and saying, okay, if you find a role or even a role that is somewhat in alignment, going through it and picking out and saying, okay, what are the pieces that are in this job description that speak to me? As a whole, this job doesn't speak to me, so I'm not going to apply for it. But if you feel like you might be too nichey, looking at job descriptions that do somewhat intrigue you, even if it has two or three bullet points that spark your curiosity, pull those out and say, okay, what are the skills that are in here? What are the interests? What is piquing my interest from this one, two, or three bullets? And do that a couple of times and almost collect your own job description and write your own job description. And then start to pull the keywords out from there. So again, that's kind of the backwards way to engineer it. But if you do feel too nichey, it's either one, that you've narrowed it down to job titles and too narrow, or that you just aren't searching for the right terms. So great question, Carly. All right, Leah. Love Leah's question. She said, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I feel like the more I think about it, the less clear I am. Things she knows for sure. I don't want to be an instructional designer. I want to be involved in accessibility and inclusivity. I currently work as a diagnostician in special education. In this role, I manage the development of learning planning that involves team members from different groups, maintain compliance, adhere to federal timelines, data analysis, use assessments to determine accommodations. I'm not sure where to fit these skills into L&D. So again, here's where I'm going to coach on this. It's not about fitting these skills into L&D. It's about finding roles that fit into your skills. And so it's getting clear, first and foremost, this is the role that you said, I manage the development of learning planning. You do all of these things. But I'd love to know from you, Leah, and this is for everyone to kind of hear how I would coach on this, is this is what you do, but what do you want to do? Are these all things that you want to utilize and do in your next role? Do you want to manage the development of learning planning? Do you want to maintain compliance? Do you want to, you know, adhere to federal timelines? You know, do you want to do data analysis and use assessments, right? So if all the answers are yes, or some are yes or some are no, then there's absolutely, by the way, in all of these skills, right, places where these are utilized in learning and development. And so it's really thinking about, again, reframing where you say, here, Leah, I'm not sure where to fit these skills into L&D. The question is, which of these skills do you have that you want to find a L&D role that fits in with what you want to do? So I hear accessibility, inclusivity, learning planning, timeline, right? Project management, data analysis, compliance, right? All of these things are absolute, they're all learning and development skills. The question is, which ones do you want to utilize in your next role? And so already knowing, you know, and I mentioned this in the comments and in that LinkedIn post, and I'll link to the LinkedIn post too, so y'all can look at it too, but you don't have to be an instructional designer, right? So even when I'm hearing here too, you know, all the things that you have been doing, right? Yeah, they don't sound like instructional designer things, which is great, you know, because you don't want to be one. So really getting clear on which of these skills do you actually want to utilize in your next role? What are the interests that you have? And thinking about too, like how can you bucket some of these as well? I think the next step for you, Leah, is also then the values, right? So it sounds like you also value accessibility and inclusivity. So not only are those skills, but those are values. So Leah, I actually think just from what I'm seeing here, you are like 90% of the way there, 85-90% of the way there. It's just putting it all together. So I hope that helps, but there absolutely is a place for you in L&D. And the bigger question is, you know, how do all of these and how does L&D fit into what you want to do? All right, James. James asks the best questions. I love James's questions. So thanks, James. So he said the niche piece of the career discernment job search process has been the biggest roadblock. And while he's armed with a few techniques of how to figure it out, I'm still stumped. All right. So here's James's challenges. The time and mental space to do the work, a general fogginess of what the right answer is, in quotes, and while I may recognize the skills I have to transfer, I'm a little empty on results that would stand out on a resume or cover letter that transfers the positions I'd be looking for. Okay, so he asked another question too, but I want to go through these challenges first. So first and foremost, the time and mental space to do the work. Yeah, huge challenge, right? Like I always say that, you know, if you're really transitioning careers, and again, whether you're in L&D already or not, right, this is a process that can tend to crack you open and put you back together and put you back together much stronger. You know, I've used this analogy before, but in Japanese culture, like that's part of the beauty of their culture, right? If something breaks, you know, putting it back together and filling it with, you know, with gold, right? It's making it better than it was before. And so the time and mental space to do this work, yeah, it will crack you open. But what I will say is this, is that the niche work is the hardest work that you'll do. And if you really spend the time and dedicate to it, everything else becomes so much easier. Like this is the key. This is the answer right here. And I will say that with certainty because I've seen it happen hundreds of times now where this is the missing piece for so many people. And so James, my first thing is, you know, give yourself the time to do it, but don't make this your full-time job. Because here's the thing about your niche. It's an iterative process. So I would say with your niche, just like with learning and development, right? We never get things to 100% and then roll it out, right? That's not fair for our learners, right? So maybe it's 80% and while it's piloting or while it's out there, we're finishing, we're refining it, we're going back, we're making changes. Same thing with your niche, right? Get to 80% and then move on in the process. And as you start to interview, as you start to have, you know, more conversations, you get further in the process of things, you'll learn more and more what you like and what you don't like. And you get to go back and iterate on your niche even more. I've never had a client who's just been like, okay, here's my niche. Great. And now like forge ahead, right? It's not like that. It's, hey, great. Here's my niche. Now I'm going to forge ahead. Oh, learn something new. Great. Let me back up for a second. Iterate. Okay. Now let me move up five more steps. Okay. Let me back up one step, iterate and, you know, rocket launch and quantum leap 10 steps. So, give yourself enough time, but this kind of goes to your second question or challenge about the right answer. There is no right answer and there is no wrong answer, really, right? Like this is such a personal, your niche is you. Your niche is your secret sauce. Your niche is what you want, what you bring to the table, the values you have. So there is no right answer, right? Because all of our answers are going to be different and our answers are going to change as we learn more. So again, that general fogginess, like get to 80% and be okay with moving forward from there and knowing that it's a part of the process to come back and to iterate on it. And then he said, well, I may recognize the skills that I have that transfer. I'm a little empty on results that would stand out on a resume or cover letter that transfer the positions I'd be looking for. So I think that's a bigger question, right? That's a bigger deep dive there too. And that's something that I work with a lot of my clients on in coaching inside of the Fast Track program to really identify, okay, how do we market these skills, right? So that's a different level. Finding your niche is different than, okay, now how do I market my niche? So inside of the resume reprogram course, which also includes the Nail Your Niche workshop, we go into how to do that and really, really spend time on how do we translate those skills. But again, the more that you can hone in on your niche, the easier it becomes to really create this almost personal brand for yourself, whether it's on your resume, it's on your LinkedIn, you know, as you're networking, whatever it may be. So I would say focus first on, you know, I think a lot of people too, again, think, okay, I'm in the middle of figuring out my niche. How do I translate this? Or what does it look like on my resume or cover letter, right? We kind of immediately go to the tangible, like the, and putting it together. But kind of going back, that also takes up a lot of time and mental space in doing that. So how I'd coach you on this, James, is really saying, okay, forget about how it's going to transfer right now. Forget about it for a second, right? And really just focus on the skills that you have that transfer. And once you find your niche and then moving from there and saying, okay, now how do I market this as a whole? Because I think if we look at it, how do I market each individual skill? That can also be really overwhelming. So I would say point three here of like, how does it stand out in a resume or a cover letter? That comes after taking the time and mental space to do the work. All right, but here's the big question that James has. For reasons that are probably more internally sensed than externally sensed, I feel like I need to market myself in a way that stands out to recruiters and new employers, but doesn't highlight to my current colleagues that I'm searching. Once I figure out my niche, how can I thread that needle? So I have a lot of clients that are in the same exact boat where they're like, where they are really like, they want to put themselves out there. They're not afraid to do that, but at the same time, they don't want to sound the alarm that they are searching for a role. So a couple of things is, oh my gosh, woo. I think I have a candle lit and it's It's getting me, y'all. All right. So the first thing is, and I think, again, more internally sense than externally sense. I agree with that. But is, my question is, okay, who cares? That's my first question. You know, who cares if your current colleagues see that you're searching? Like, does that actually impact you? So I say that because in my last role, when I was starting the overnight trainer, I would post on LinkedIn about it and people would look and people would talk and, you know, people would, you know, whisper and mumble and I could see who was looking at my profile and, you know, who was talking and all that stuff. And at first it bothered me. And then very quickly I was just like, I don't care. Like, you know, this is my business. I did what I had to do. And granted, starting a business while you're still working, there's also a lot of logistics around that from like, it's called moonlighting. And so I talked to my manager about it. There was no problem with it, right? So like there was no repercussions for me if someone found out that I was doing it. So that was more internally that I was worried about what people were saying about me. But those people did not pay my bills and they definitely didn't pay me to start my business. So I think I want you to ask that question first is like, who cares? Like, what is the impact? But for some people, there is a big impact. So I have clients who are like, my current company can't find out. Like, I can't have people like finding out. It just like, that's not an option for me. And so the thing is that, you know, what I notice, and this is kind of, again, now treading into more like personal branding and kind of looking at like the strategy. And we go into all of this inside of Fast Track. We're actually, the group and I were just talking about this today, where, you know, here's where creating that personal brand around yourself is so much more important than like posting out into the world, like, I'm open for work and here, hire me for this. And this is what I do. And, you know, there's that beautiful way to thread the needle, which once you find your niche, to start to create that personal brand around that. And I had a client who the other day, someone asked them like, oh, I've seen you've been like, you know, active on LinkedIn. And she was like, oh, how do I answer this? And what I coached her through was saying like everyone's active on LinkedIn now. Like this is your personal brand is the way of the future, right? It's a social media platform, just like, you know, Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may, TikTok, right? That, you know, I'm creating my personal brand and I'm choosing to do it on LinkedIn. I have things to say and things to share, and this is the way of the future. And you know, really just walking people through that you're just creating your personal brand, and whether that leads to a job or not, right? It's none of their freaking business. So I think it's more around figuring out your niche and then just focusing on how do I now create my own personal brand around my niche. Most people go wrong because they create their personal brand. I'm actually gonna do a post on this because that's a good idea. Most people create their personal brand around job searching, and like that is their brand. And that is the worst thing that you can do for your personal brand. You know, that who I am is a job seeker. No, who you are is someone who develops, you know, inclusive and accessible learning programs. Who you are is someone who coaches and, you know, uses data to, you know, develop future leaders in the organization. Who you are is someone who creates onboarding programs for, you know, early career professionals so they can progress in their career. That's who you are, right? That's your personal brand. But a lot of people make job searching their personal brand. So once you figure out your niche, thread that needle by just creating a personal brand around it. And it's not, you don't have to sound the alarm. You don't have to highlight and say, hire me, here's my resume, none of that, right? Just create that personal brand. But it's really hard to do that until you figure out your niche. So James, I hope that resonated and landed with you. All right, Allison, girl, I need help. Is a niche just a description of what I want, don't want to do? Are there examples of niches somewhere? Is there a quiz I can take? I need a flow chart. She said, I need this broken down a little further. I love this question, Allison. So it's obviously more than a flow chart. However, I do have a free resource. It's called 50 plus L&D roles plus top skills needed to land them. And the goal of the document is not to give you just a laundry list of jobs. I do want to showcase there's so many different roles. There's 1 million roles available right now in L&D and L&D adjacent fields. And, you know, this is just 60 of them. So obviously there's a lot more. But what you can do, and this is how I encourage you to utilize that document, is to download the document. You can go to my website, theovernighttrainer.com. It's also linked on my LinkedIn featured section, and I'll drop it in the show notes as well. But is to go there and start with just going through the skills. So go through the skills first, identify what all the skills are that stand out to you, and then start to see, okay, where am I falling in terms of fields? Because I break down a bunch of different L&D field. Then you can start to see, okay, where am I falling now in terms of different types of career paths? And so that will kind of give you a niche, very, very light, but it will give you a great way to start to identify what are some of those skills. So if any of you are all just like, I don't even know where to freaking start, this is also overwhelming, go to my website, theovernighttrainer.com. On the homepage, there is a free guide that you can download. And I go through, there's 60 different L&D skills that you can start to categorize and figure out what works for you. I also will have, probably this week, if you all listen to it live, I'm going to create, probably have it on sale for a week or so, an L&D Career Transition Starter Pack bundle. So it'll have the niche workshop in it, and it'll have two other courses on, two to three possibly, other courses on, you know, finding your L&D niche, getting clarity, gaining confidence, understanding what's right for you, you know, how to start this transition, really kind of give you that overall kickstart as well. So keep an eye out for that. That should be going live sometime this week too. So Allison, girl, I got you. Go to my website, download that. And then also this bundle will be super, super helpful for you. And then of course, I'll say this a million times, if you do want that daily support from me in finding your niche, in going further in this process, come and join us inside of Fast Track. You get daily access to me, monthly live Q&A calls, access to every program I've ever created, and step-by-step process on how to make this work for you in 90 days. So I got you, girl. Got all of you. All right. So our last question comes from Desiree. And Desiree asked or said, I decided that LMS administrator would be my niche. I'm having a hard time finding ways to practice on different LMS platforms. I cannot find free trials. So I did answer Desiree on the LinkedIn thread, but I wanted to talk through it here, where LMS administrator is a title. It's a job title, right? It's not necessarily a niche. So I encourage her, said, you know, tell me more about being an LMS administrator. So how, like, what is the niche part of it, right? That's just one role that would fit inside of a niche. And so getting really, really clear on that, because the more that you can get clear on your niche and the skill set you want to utilize, then going on to her question around ways to practice on different LMS platforms, well, that may give you it's a long episode. I've been talking for a long time with y'all. The more that you can clarify your niche, right, that will give you the understanding of what types of platforms should you even try to practice on if you can, right? So for example, if for Desiree backing up and saying, okay, well, I want to be the person who is, you know, making sure that everyone has the content that they need, and, you know, I want to do data analysis on that, and I want to understand, you know, how to, you know, assign learning for people and do algorithms, right? There's so much that can go into, especially LMS administrator, right? That there's so much that goes into that. So what pieces of it do you want to, you know, what skills do you have that you want to leverage in your next role? When you do that, you can start to figure out, okay, what type of systems then would someone in this niche of mine, what are those LMSs platforms that someone who's going to be doing that type of work, what are they going to be utilizing, right? So for example, let's say that it's something that you realize that you want to enable social learning inside of your organization. Well, then maybe you would focus on, how do I learn more about social learning LMS platforms over maybe a standard, more quote unquote old school LMS platform. So for example, 360 Learning is a great platform all around social and collaborative learning. What can you do? Well, maybe, yes, you're not going to be able to get a free trial necessarily, but can you go on their blog? Can you watch their videos? Can you get a demo, right? Can you, you know, follow their team on LinkedIn, learn more about the product, maybe find someone who's utilizing it that will walk you through it, right? There's so many different things that you could be doing in that sense. But again, if you're just grasping at straws and trying to say, okay, let me upskill for the sake of upskilling and just pick a random LMS, well, what's what 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 is that going to end up actually doing for you? So again, finding your niche is really important because we're moving beyond just picking job titles and saying, okay, well, when I think about being an LMS administrator, what skills do I want to utilize? What impact do I want to have? You know, what are the values of a company that I want to work for? Well, different values of a company might depend on what system they end up going with, right? So getting really, really clear on that will help you figure out. Yes, there's not a lot of free trials for LMSs, but there's a lot of different ways that you can learn more about them. And then there's also, you know, really at the end of the day too, if you kind of think about, well, what do I want to do inside of an LMS? There's lots of different trainings that you can take on that too, Desiree. So again, it all goes back though to being able to find your niche and getting really clear on the skills, the interests that you have, and not just focusing specifically on a job title. All right, my friends, this was a really long solo episode. I mean, y'all know I could talk about finding your L&D niche for ever and ever and ever and ever. And I think maybe some point in the near future, I might do the niche workshop live again. I did it last year during, I think it was December. So I might bring that back again to do that live. So if you do buy that bundle that I'm talking about, you absolutely can credit some of that towards the live training if I do that live in December. So just thinking out loud with y'all right now. If you'd like to take it live and have live coaching from me on your niche, let me know if that resonates. Can see if that's landing with you all. But in the meantime, that L&D Career Transition Starter Pack bundle will be available in the next couple of days. So keep an eye out for that. I will also have, I'll link to the niche workshop if you're just interested in that. And then of course, if you want live support from me for the next 90 days, you want to be in your job, in your new L&D role in 90 days, come and join us. We have the most incredible kick-ass group of people inside of Fast Track, and we'd love to have you. So DM me for the link for that, and we will get you started. All right, my friends, until next week, I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If it resonated with you in any way, please let me know by subscribing, liking, and leaving a review. I'd love to hear from you on how you're using these tools, as well as what you want to hear more of. So connect with me on LinkedIn at Sarah Canistra, send me a DM, or email me at hello@theovernighttrainer.com. I can't wait to hear from you, and until next week, stay learning.